It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, August 18th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer is throwing a party today, but it's not a lavish tech company party. It's a rally at the Los Angeles Staples Center. Ballmer recently acquired the LA Clippers from Donald Sterling for about $2 billion. That was after Sterling was forced out following racist comments he made in a recorded phone call. Ballmer is known as a passionate leader who has at times made the wrong choices. Does that tell us anything about how he'll lead the Clippers? Kyle Wagner is a writer for the website Deadspin. Kyle, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You have covered Steve Ballmer and Microsoft in the past. How would you describe the Steve Ballmer management style?
So traditionally, the Steve Ballmer management style has been totalitarian, but he was trying to work his way out of that at the end. So we might see an easier going Steve Ballmer.
I saw a quote from him basically suggesting that he was going to stay in the background and let the team play and the coach. Do you think that's likely with a guy who has Ballmer's history of executive leadership?
I would say there's a good chance, but it's going to depend on the people that he empowers. Doc Rivers is already, who's the coach for the Clippers, has consolidated a lot of power in the past couple months. But Steve Ballmer has always been a big data guy, and obviously the NBA has a lot of, new analytics and just math guys coming in. And that's actually Steve Ballmer's original background. He has a degree in applied mathematics and economics, and that's going to dovetail really nicely if he puts together a great analytics team. But a lot of times, those divisions, if they're not run really carefully, can butt heads with the coach and with management. So that's going to be something to look at, definitely.
Kyle, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Birds are great, but they can get in the way and be a problem at trash dumps, for instance, farms, and definitely at airports. They're also persistent. They keep coming back no matter what we do. Well, a Dutch company called Clear Flight Solutions thinks it has a fix. Robirds. Yep, I'm talking about 3D printed robotic birds to scare off the other birds. Nico Nyenhaus is co-founder of the company. He says Clear Flight Solutions was inspired in part by how dangerous bird strikes can be for planes when birds get sucked into engines as the planes land and take off.
Your average bird strike costs $200,000. And it's proven very difficult to get rid of birds. And then when we try to do that, birds learn very quickly that there's nothing to fear from a loud bang or a bright flash or anything like that. I mean, they don't care about technological advancement. They care about nature. So you need to battle them using nature.
Hence a robird that looks just like a peregrine falcon flaps like one too.
All birds have different types of wing motion. For instance, a falcon on the hunt has a very nervous type of wing beat because it's excited, it's hunting, it wants to catch prey. And that's the type of motion that we try to reproduce in our peregrine falcon model.
The robird does have to be operated by a human, and so Nyenhaus's product isn't cheap. But an online video of the robird chasing gulls away from a Dutch waste management plant is proof of concept. And Nyenhaus says he's had some interest from the U.S. too. A farmer emailed him recently for help keeping the starlings out of his crops of sweet corn. Over the weekend, we passed a mobile milestone. 20 years ago Saturday, IBM's Simon phone went on sale. It had a screen, a calendar, and it could send email, making it, by some measures, the world's first smartphone. A review from the website Byte.com said in 1994, quote, "Whether or not Simon is your idea of the ultimate personal communicator depends on how appealing you find the combination of voice calls and email." Oh, man, that is hilarious. So what was Simon actually like? BBC Tech reporter Claire Brennan is here to tell us. Hi, Claire.
Hi there.
What was this phone like and how is it different from today's phones?
It was called the IBM Simon, and it looked and felt very different from the modern iPhones and Androids that you or I would be used to. It wasn't quite as slick, shall we say. It actually got its name, Simon, from the children's game Simon Says.
I remember that game, totally.
Exactly. So I guess that was a bit of a marketing ploy by them, as it alluded to the fact that this was quite simple to use and would really do whatever you told it to. Looks-wise, it was quite chunky. It was a big grey box that weighed around half a kilo. It had an LCD screen with a stylus and some touchscreen technology, which was about, the screen was about the same size as your iPhone 4 would be. So in that way, I guess it did look sort of modern, but you know, in many ways it really was revolutionary, and I guess we shouldn't go judging phones by their covers.
How successful was the IBM Simon?
It was only available in the United States, so it only sold about 50,000 models. But from a technical point of view, it really was remarkable, particularly for businessmen who would have spent long periods on the road. You know, they could update their calendars. Then if they managed to find an internet connection, they could send emails as well. So it combined all of these digital features with a transportable phone. And the price tag was quite high, even by today's standards.
How much?
When it first went on the market, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
It cost $899.
Woo.
Which back in 1994, yeah, even in 2014, it's a lot of money. So in 1994, it was even more expensive. So I guess, yeah, it was a victim of all those things. Its size, its expense, and also the lack of a digital infrastructure in those days. There wasn't the same level of connectivity that we have today. So it wasn't as simple as opening up your Gmail and firing off a few emails. It really was a bit more technical to use.
Well, Claire Brennan, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
All right. Well, the Marketplace app probably would never have loaded on the IBM Simon, but it will most definitely load on your current smartphone, and you should try it. Find it in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.